Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in with us at Open Door Church. I'm just so excited today. I've got Jan with me, who's going to be sharing part of her story and part of her journey. So over the last few weeks, we have been looking at how Jesus changes lives. And we know that Jesus came to set the captives free. We know that he came that we'd have life to the full. Jesus came to bring us hope and assurance. And I get so excited when I hear stories of people whose lives are changed through knowing Jesus. So I'm really delighted that Jan is with me today. Thank you so much, Jan, for agreeing to share some of your story. I'm really excited to get into that. But just before we get into some of your story today, because we're going to be touching a little bit on how you have coped with anxiety and depression and fear. So why did you agree to share some of your story with us today? What made you say yes when I asked you to share some of your awesome story?
I think when I think about it, I've realised that so many people battle in this area, that kind of statistically we know that 4 out of 5 people will suffer serious bouts of depression and anxiety every year. And so if it's not you, I think you will know somebody who is suffering, yeah, or somebody in your family will be affected. And so it impacts us all. And I think none of us can escape that. I think that especially during kind of lockdown, and there's just been a real focus on mental health and kind of people really struggling during this time. And I felt like I've got a story to share, you know, it's a story of hope, I hope, for others. And yeah, so that is kind of my heart, is that people would find hope in what I have to share.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And I just want to say, you know, right from the start, thank you for doing this and for being really brave to share some of your story. And I fully expect that it's going to be a story that is going to bring hope. And so why don't you kick us off and tell us a little bit about some of your teenage years, some of your family background, and how that impacted you as you grew up?
Sure. Well, I think I've got to start off with just sharing. This morning my mum texted me. I love my mum. My mum just brings us so much joy, and she's just an incredible woman in my life. And this morning she texts me and she made me laugh. She said to me, "I hear you're going to lead worship on Sunday." And all I can say is, thank goodness I'm not leading worship, because that wouldn't work out very well. And I said to her, "No, Mum, I'm not leading worship, but I am sharing a little bit about my story." And so kind of thinking back as a child, I grew up in a very kind of average, normal, middle-class family. I obviously come from South Africa, I come from Cape Town, and in my kind of early years and my childhood, we had, you know, lots of really good times, but we also, as a family, had some real kind of tough challenges to deal with. My parents, they separated when I was about 7 years old, mm-hmm. Both my parents actually were hospitalized for depression. So I think the long and the short of it is I've kind of grown up around depression and struggles with mental health all of my life, really. And my mum and dad had their own separate struggles. After they separated, my mum, she's a nurse. She kind of looked after us and she worked really, really hard. And I think when I look back, my own struggles probably began around the age of about 12. Mm. And I had had a really good kind of a few years as a, you know, in junior school, like those kind of low school years were really, really good for me. But when I hit those kind of teenage years, I really, really struggled. And I can't really describe it. I just felt like I was overcome with despair. And I literally just went through a season in my life when I was 12, 13, where I just didn't really feel like I had any hope. I just felt really suicidal. I started to self-harm quite significantly. Just really just didn't want to live. And I think looking back now, I just think, oh gosh, I don't know how my mum kind of coped with that stage of my life where I can honestly say there was nothing that anybody could say to kind of bring me out of that. I just had this overriding desire to end my life. And I attempted suicide a couple of times during that period, and eventually My parents put me in a psychiatric hospital for adolescence. So I was hospitalized at the age of 13, around about that sort of age, 13, 14. I had just started high school, and my mum was under a lot of pressure to not remove me from school. And she was very, very brave. When I think back now, she had my back. She kind of knew, I think she knew when I talked to her now, I think she knew that had she kind of forced me to remain at school during that time, that kind of she would lose me really. So I was hospitalized in a hospital in Cape Town, and I think it was meant to be like a 3 month program, and I became quite institutionalized, which is quite common, I think. And it does ha I know that many people have identified, but I found it quite a safe place. I think I had a lot of anxiety in school. I felt really overwhelmed by situations and kind of just overriding panic in my high school sort of years. And this hospital was like a bit of a refuge for me. I really enjoyed my time there. And every single time they said, "Oh, you've made such progress, we're going to discharge you," I would do something to kind of like make sure that they kept me there, because I just felt like I didn't know how to go back into the world. I felt really, really overwhelmed. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, I was discharged, I think I was about 14, just before my 15th birthday, around about there. I never returned to school. I left school, and I never returned home either. I moved out of home. Yeah, I don't really have time to go into all the details, but I worked. I lived in with I lived in communes and kind of flats and worked, and I had very little contact. I think it was, I think very sadly now, I just kind of cut off my family during those years. I think I found it just too painful to go home and just kind of moved on. And my mum was so gracious. Sometimes I think, I never want people to think that she was never involved, because she was from a distance, and I think she just knew that I needed to pave my own way, and I did do that, and she kind of was in the background, but I kind of really kind of cut myself off from my family during those years, from all of my family.
Wow, Jan. So that, I mean, it sounds like the time in the hospital was almost that became a bit of your safe place where your security was, and the outside world seemed a bit scary and a bit daunting. And that sounds like it was really traumatic for you and your family, that whole season. That's incredible. I mean, this is really going to be helping some people who watch this. So I just want to say thank you again for kind of taking the time to do this and being so brave. And so in all that kind of trauma and that time when it was really darkness and despair, what was the kind of the moment where some light broke in for you?
So I think kind of fast forward a few years. I think those years after I left were quite dark for me, really. I think I just went down a path and a road that led to destruction, as many of us do when we're trying to satisfy, just the things in our hearts that are dissatisfied. We look for something to kind of fill those empty gaps. And so I think those years were really dark, and it led me into some very, very dark places. And sort of fast forward a few years, I had a relationship with a lady who I had sort of come to know for some years, and she was very broken and addicted, afflicted, all of those things. And she gave her life to Jesus, and I remember her kind of telling me, how she had met Jesus. She had given her life to him, and how she had just been transformed. And I saw something in her, and I knew I wanted that. I just didn't know how to kind of get there, but I saw a little bit of something that I knew that I had been looking for my whole life. And so she was baptized, and she invited me to her baptism, which was at a Baptist church in the center of Cape Town, which was a big church in the middle of town. Yeah, so I walked through the church doors, which I found really difficult to do, and I can't really describe why. I think I just felt overwhelmed by the people, and it was such an unfamiliar kind of environment. But I remember I walked into the church and I sat next to her sister and watched her be baptized. And it's so funny, but in that moment, I walked through the doors of that church and I just felt the tangible presence of God. There was no other way to describe it. It was like I just knew in that moment that he was real and that he had... He was the thing that I'd been looking for my whole life. And it was there in that moment, that I can honestly say I left knowing that I'd never be the same again. I think that's the only way really to describe it is, just this incredible presence of God that I really felt. That was what I always say, it was my Damascus Road experience. You know, I think I walked into those doors just completely broken and addicted and afflicted and all of those things, you know, just kind of, I had no hope. I had felt despair and I just knew that he was the answer, you know, that he was the answer that I'd been looking for. And so I walked out that door and it was the beginning of an incredible journey.
Wow. And it's so good that you describe it like a journey, because we don't get to a certain point doing and God just kind of fixes everything and everything is, you know, kind of dealt with for the rest of all time. And so at 17, I love that you described it as a Damascus Road experience. And then when we think about the scripture, we think about the Apostle Paul, what that actually means, what you're referring to is the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus to go and, you know, kill and imprison followers of Jesus. And he has this incredible encounter with Jesus on the road. And in that moment, Jesus completely changes his life around. So he was going in one direction. He has an incredible encounter with Jesus and his life is turned around and goes in completely other direction. And so that's what it sounds like happened for you, that this was an amazing moment of Jesus light breaking into the darkness. But as you said as well, it's a journey, isn't it? So
Absolutely.
That's not the kind of the end of the story by any means.
No, it's not.
So,
it's not the end of the story.
Yeah, so the amazing Damascus Road experience, that's what happens. Jesus breaks into our lives.
Yeah, he does.
And wow, things change.
Yeah.
And things change. But what was life like then after that experience? What was the next few years like?
Well, those first few years, I think I was really on a high. I think kind of like when I look back, you know, I think, my mum, bless her heart, I think she just thought, oh my goodness, you know, Janet's, you know, she's just on one. And kind of, I just had such joy and I just wanted to share, what I'd experienced with anybody and everybody. And in those early years, I kind of, funny enough, I worked for the church and I was part of a youth team, a Scripture Union youth team, and we would go into schools actually and work with young people. And that's what I did for many years. For about a year actually. I kind of shared my testimony just kind of what I experienced with young people. I moved out of the place I was living at and I was taken in actually, a really funny story, but I was taken, I lived for a short time in the garage of one of the elder couples at this Baptist church. And bless their hearts, their name were Howard and Cherie. And I thought they were just the strangest people I'd ever met in my life. They were just as far as what I had ever known. They were an interesting couple. And but, you know, such an incredible heart for the lost. And I moved into their garage. And it's funny the things that you remember. But I used to wake up and every single morning, Howard would have written a scripture and a post-it note, and he would stick it on the door of my room, and I would wake up to this kind of scripture, and you realize how God just uses people throughout your journey. And they played kind of quite a pivotal role in my early years as a Christian. I have to say, though, you know, you're right. I think there was that initial kind of life-transforming experience. And I think what often happens, and many of you will relate to this, is you have that experience, and then kind of what ends up happening is you're not rooted in the Word of God. You don't have that freedom. And what do? You tend to go back to Egypt. You tend to go back to what you know. And you tend to go back to what is familiar. And so I think what started off really well, you know, I didn't stick at it. And looking back now, and I think, you know, why didn't I stick at it? And I think it was because I was really in bondage, but I didn't know how to properly get free. Mm-hmm. And so I think what happened is you know, we lost my dad really tragically in 1995, and it was a really difficult time for our family. And I fell away. I just kind of hit a bit of a period of disillusionment. I never, ever, I would never say that I had, and I always remembered that experience that I'd had, and I kind of always knew that Jesus was my hope, and it was just more that I think my faith was weak. And anyway, I met and I married Stephen. It was only some years later that I can honestly say I fully surrendered my life to Jesus. And that was after I married Steve. We were living and had become really good friends with a couple down the road who are still one of our closest friends to this day, John and Ton. Tanya had invited me to a church service, and I just knew that I needed to give Jesus my all. And I went with her. And I recommitted my life to the Lord then. At that church, in that moment, I just laid it all before God and gave him everything. And I would say that that is the day that I experienced complete freedom from many areas in my life. So Steve and her husband, John, they kind of did an Alpha course shortly afterwards. And so we kind of went on this incredible journey of faith together. Yeah, like I said, you know, Tanya and I gave our lives to the Lord on the same night, and a lady was very pivotal and kind of has walked a journey with us, you know, over, gosh, 2 decades now, and her name's Kerry. And it was so funny because the church that we got saved into, they had quite a good system in that when somebody got saved, they matched you up with somebody who had kind of walked this road who could disciple you. I remember, I'll never forget, kind of like thinking, true as Bob, they've matched me with Kerry, and thinking, we have nothing in common. I remember looking at her and thinking, we could not be further from one another. There was just, there was, you know, she was pregnant with her second child. She was just a mum. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to relate to her. So it's so funny how God uses people that we just, just in incredible ways. And Kerry has been just an incredible blessing in not only my life, but certainly in Tanya's life as well, you know, my friend that I spoke about. And we've worked, she discipled us. So she took us through a discipleship course, which I think is similar to kind of like a Freedom in Christ. And that was just an incredible journey. I think it was meant to be like Freedom in Christ. I think it was meant to be like 12 weeks. I think it ended up being more like a year that I sat in Kerry's study and kind of she just walked me through and really discipled me. And when I think back now, I think, you know, that was the thing that changed my life, was just having somebody who walked me through it and who, you know, her, I think her thing, when I think back, she always used to say, absolute honesty, Janet, you know, absolute honesty. And I think all of us, we hold things back, you know, and God really works with us when we lay it all bare before him. And that's what he did in that little study. And, you know, her husband, Derek, used to knock on the door at 11 o'clock at night and, you know, thinking, gosh, you know, these ladies, surely they've got to be finished by now. And we were still going, you know. And I'm so grateful so grateful and so blessed that I had somebody like that who kind of walked with me and honestly can hand on heart say that life was never the same again. In any way, shape or form.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's so good, Jan. And just to picking up a few things there that you were saying about just the importance of, I mean, for many people be able to really relate to what you said about, you know, an initial excitement of coming to faith And then after that kind of initial excitement can kind of wear off sometimes, that we find ourselves maybe in a bit of a desert place. But that place you came to of real surrender, that, you know, when we really submit ourselves to Jesus and we really give it all over to him, that's when we find real freedom, when we really give it over to the Lord. So that, just thank you for sharing that. That's so, so cool and helpful. And again, what you're saying about, you know, your friend Kerry, just a shout out to Kerry in South Africa. I'm sure she's tuned in. Great job. And just the importance of real authentic fellowship amongst believers and honesty and walking in the light together. Just so, so, so good. Just so brilliant. And so I wonder, Jan, is there anything that you'd like to talk to us about, any of the kind of ongoing struggles from there? So you, real good breakthrough moments in your life of really surrendering to Jesus, being linked with Kerry, doing some great discipleship and encouragement and doing things together, really, really important. And then what have been some of the ongoing challenges and how have you approached them?
I think for me, I think it's like you say, I think, you know, our faith is a journey, and I love that scripture that says, you know, that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and he's the one that kind of just brings it all together. And it's, when I look back, I think over my life, there were lots and lots of times where I only just saw like a piece of the puzzle. I couldn't, you know, couldn't see beyond that little piece, you know, that, you know, maybe it was a specific thing that I was struggling with and I didn't understand it. And then kind of years later, it was like God pieces the puzzle together. And I think that has been the story of our lives. I think, you know, can I hand on heart say that there, you know, that there were no more struggles? No, absolutely not. There were lots of struggles, you know, lots and lots of struggles. But I think that what I really, really felt was, yeah, just that incredible, just understanding that God would never leave me, that he would never forsake me. It doesn't mean that troubles aren't going to come our way or that we aren't going to have any challenges. And we did, you know, we kind of fast forward a few years and, you know, kind of reflect back to moving to this country. And, you know, when we moved to this country, it was Steve that kind of really was battling. He kind of spoke last week about some of the regrets that we had. And I think, you know, Steve and I, you know, we went on to kind of, yeah, just had some incredible years in the church, and we, you know, we were leaders in our local church. We really actually felt at one stage that, you know, God would use us to plant a church. We felt called by God, and kind of life didn't turn out that way. And there was kind of a lot of regret in both of our lives. I think we had a lot of regret over some of the decisions that we had made. And yet I come back to that scripture that God brings everything to good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And I can testify to that, you know, when we kind of, yeah, those first few years of immigrating in the UK were really hard. I was homesick. I felt, yeah, kind of again, just felt really low. And it was during this time actually that I kind of want to talk a little bit about, you know, how people can help. And I think of Anna. And lots of you will know Anna and Timothy in the church. And yeah, so I think kind of, you know, certainly the first few years that we were in the UK were really kind of quite a tough season, I think, for Steve and I. You know, Steve has his own incredible story, but yeah, I was part of a small group at our old church, and Anna was leading that group at the time, and my friend Tonya was part of it, and actually her mum, who we call Vovo, was a part of that group too. And I can honestly say, you know, those were kind of I would say that was one of my tougher seasons, was actually in that time. I think Steve had to cut a very long story short, but he had been put on a medication, and part of the side effect of that medication, we didn't know at the time, was just incredible depression. And it was like I lost him, if I'm honest. You know, he was there, but he wasn't really there. He wasn't, don't get me wrong, he wasn't difficult or any of those things, but he was just kind of existing, and he had no desire to kind of know God or walk with him, and I found that really, really hard. I'd say that was one of the hardest things, was just kind of seeing somebody who had known Jesus and loved Jesus and, you know, he had led worship and kind of just walk away. And I found that really, really hard. And I think, you know, Anna and that group, they were my rock, you know, during kind of quite